Hey, did you guys know that we record this podcast using Anchor? It's one of the easiest ways you can make a podcast. You don't need any microphone. You don't need any fancy equipment. You just need your phone and you just need to download the app. And then it has everything you need, like sound effects and music you can add to your podcast. Can have editing tools so you can edit your podcast, and then they distribute it for you on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. And you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. So download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Yo.
What's going on, Boone? What's going on, brother?
What's up, Dom? How are you, man? Can you hear me good?
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear. Can you hear me?
Yeah, it's good.
Awesome, man. Awesome. So today, you know, we do a weekly podcast. This is season two of CGM Lounge. We had, for all the people that have been listening to CGM Lounge and have been following CGM for a while, you may remember a Boone from LBF from when we had the CGM TV live streams. I think we had you on like a year and a half ago. So, you know, like I said, we always really just kind of want to bring people on that have really good insight on that topic for the day. Boone has been somebody we've grown up with. I've been using the term like rookie class for like the 2011 mm-hmm. guys that came out, like Karan, you, Us, Neo, Gianni Lee, Chill Moody, like all these guys that came out around like 2011, 2012. I call that our rookie class. We're like 9-year vets in the game now, so 8-year vets in the game. So
yeah.
to kind of grow up together and see everybody build their businesses side by side. And, you know, some people have gone to different states and cities, but to be, you know, still in contact with you and a lot of people, we definitely want to bring new followers and new engagers in to hear people's story like yourself with your brand. So this is going to be a dope episode of CGM Lounge. We'll get right to it. I always leave the floor open for the guests to give their full and just due introductions. So please tell everybody who you are, what you do, and we'll get right into it.
My name is Abun Alaloye. Born and raised in Nigeria, grew up here. I went to Temple, studied architecture there. While I was at Temple, I founded a brand called Live Breathe Football, also known as LBF. It's a soccer lifestyle apparel company. We make premium accessories for soccer fans and players across the world. I also do design consulting for a number of different brands and projects. So I've worked with Adidas before, designed a game called That's What She Said. So yeah, I have my hand in a few different places at the moment.
And that's what I love about where we are in our career span. Because like, as you guys start entrepreneurship or start your business and you grow, like Abun said, they're in their 7th, 8th year right now. So are we. You start, you know, you don't just stay with one opportunity. You kind of find your niche and find your invisible product, your magic, and that allows you to do other opportunities while you're building, you know, your main company. So you mentioned That's What She Said, a board game that you could buy at Target. Is it in any other stores right now?
Target, Barnes & Noble's, and of course on Amazon.
So definitely get That's What She Said. You know who made it, you know who designed it, grab it. It's a great board game for game nights. So we have Live Breathe Football. How can they access that? Is that lbffootball.com?
Yeah, so lbfootball.com, at lbfootball, that's LBFUTBOL on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
Perfect. So you guys, the reason we brought Abun on to today's show is for those particular reasons. Retail, online shopping. So if you're particularly interested in starting an online brand that's going to be selling, you know, you have a wizard, somebody that's been doing it for 8 years, definitely has his 10,000 hours in, maybe even 30, 40,000 hours in at this point. He's traveled to across country to push the brand. He's been overseas to push LBF. So we're going to have a great conversation today. So the first thing I want to touch on for the audience of Boone is we have a theme this week, and it's on branding, continuation of last week's conversation. But this week we want to focus on the things that people don't necessarily associate with branding. And that's like everyday behavior that you exhibit as an owner, as a business. So talk about what you guys do to really nail down Live Breathe Football's brand. Like, that's what she said's brand. Anything else that you got going on? What are some things that people might not associate with branding tactics that you guys have really found to be successful and what you practice day in and day out?
Yeah, that's a really, really great question. I think one thing people don't realize is a brand is more than just like your logo, the colors that people associate with your brand or your product. Mm-hmm. I think your brand is really has to have a personality. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And a voice. I mean, people don't talk about brand voice and all that, but it really has to be consistent across every single thing that you do. So the brand voice has to be communicated through product, through your marketing, and even the people that represent, you know, your business, right? There's certain places you might walk into, like a great example is like Johnny Rockets, right? Mm-hmm. The burger joint. And they all dress a certain way. You know what I mean? If you go into even, what's that ice cream store in Old City? I think it's called Franklin.
Yeah.
On Fountain, whatever. Like, you walk in there and it feels very old school. They have like the old school, like cash registers, and people are dressed in sort of very particular way. Those are all things that, even the smell, you walk in, it smells a very particular way. You walk into Cold Stone, it smells a particular way. Mm-hmm. Those are all things, deliberate branding decisions that people have made at some point down the line to communicate a very clear message to the end consumer. And I think that's something that people have to keep in mind, especially as an entrepreneur, where if you're starting a brand, it's probably just you. So in many ways, like, your brand is an extension of you and the message you put out there. So even if, for example, you might have your own personal social media accounts, like, that is an extension of your business and your brand, right? What you choose to tell people, you choose to show people begin to associate that with you in a very deliberate way. And so you have to be intentional about what messaging you're putting out there.
Yeah, I mean, all those points are things that, you know, I think a lot of people take for granted in building their brand. Like you said, the smell, like when you go into a restaurant, like the smell that you smell, the noise, the music, the lights, like all the things that people just kind of take for granted. Those are the things that really, really drive the brand and that that consistency of delivering that message. So when you mention like personal social media versus business social media, you guys, two quotes come to mind, and it sounds kind of tacky and cliche, but with great power comes great responsibility is one. So once you decide to become a business and start a business and push a business, you get rid of your excuse that I'm just a normal citizen, right? You're no longer a normal citizen anymore. You now become accountable for your own actions because your brand and your business will suffer or grow based on those actions. And then the second quote that we use a lot and we always repost it every so often on our pages, don't jeopardize your brand for marketing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people think that, okay, if I do this thing that's going to get me more views, then I'm going to get more sales. That's not the correlation. The correlation is you want to be true to brand so you can get true sales and true people that believe in, like you said, your personality and your core values. Everybody doesn't fit your brand, so it doesn't mean if you give your clothes to a certain celebrity that that's going to be a good move for your brand. So just wanted to hammer that home for people, like, consistent behavior based on your brand is what's going to drive that message. So what kind of things do you guys do? Or when you look at the board, you say, this is LBF's brand. Like, what have you guys done in the past to really make sure that you're double checking that mission and that core value?
For sure. So we have we have this framework that we have created internally, and it's purely for internal consumption, but it's pretty much like an acronym. Of like a four-letter acronym, and it's sort of it was basically like it turns out to be swagger, right? It's just SWAG in a lowercase.
Yeah.
It was like stylish, world-class, aggressive, and gritty, right? And the R is sort of like relevant. It it's like a small R because it's not as important as the other ones, which are in all caps. And pretty much is like everything we put out has to kind of pass that filter, right? Is this thing, is this picture that we're going to post on Instagram, is it stylish, right? Is it world-class? World-class meaning in soccer, like world-class is sort of the best of the best, right? You have great players and you have world-class players, right? Aggressive, is it like that sense of like, you know, street, that sense of like, not just like super like soft, you know what I mean? Gritty, like, does it feel like edgy? Does it feel like something that's real, that human beings can connect with, right? And is it relevant to the demographic that we're speaking to? So, you know, for example, like, we're not going to post anything about basketball or American football on our page because that's just not relevant to our core consumer, right? So everything that we do has to kind of fall within those boundaries. And if it's on the edge of it, then we don't even bother with it at all. So our products have to fit that. Our Instagram has to fit that, our Twitter, our Facebook, everything has to kind of fit that. Even myself as a person, how I dress has to fit.
It has to fit.
Like, you never know who I'm going to run into on the street. It's one reason why I'm always wearing my brand. I'm not wearing other brands, but like if I'm wearing a sort of like, you know, different brand's t-shirt, I'll wear like, make sure I'm wearing LBF joggers. It's the reason why like most of my wardrobe, if like, if I can only wear products from other brands if we don't make them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure.
If we, okay, why am I wearing Nike track pants when we make LBF mixed track pants?
Exactly.
Does that make sense? Why am I wearing any Adidas socks if we make socks? Why am I wearing another brand's hat if we make hats? You know what I mean? And that's not to say like I'm pigeonholing myself. It's just to say like, look, at some point someone's going to run into me and I am a representative of my brand and my business. And I want them to be like, oh, that kid looks fresh. What's he wearing? You know what I mean? If you think about branding as an extension of personality, you know, I always love what Rockefeller did with Rockaware. Yeah. Like, I remember Jay-Z tells a story of like, they were telling kids to wear Iceberg and they would show up to concerts and everybody all the kids would wear Iceberg. Right. And then they realized, well, shit, if we don't, well, if we have our own brand, they'll wear our own brand, right? And then Rockaware came about and then everyone was wearing Rockaware. Like, literally everyone on their roster was wearing Rockaware. Everyone was in the Rockaware ads. Like, that's a very clear brand message. Right, it doesn't make sense for them to have Rockaware and he's wearing a competing brand. It just doesn't.
It doesn't fit. Add up. It's 80 mil, right. 80 mil in 18 months.
Exactly. And then you know, for me, I learned that from Jay and even Puffy at an early age, was realizing that you know, everyone talks about lifestyle. It's a lifestyle brand, and I think people don't even know what it means. It's just kind of like.
It just sounds
like, what is this lifestyle you're talking about?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? For LBF, the lifestyle is sort of just living and breathing football, always playing soccer, always being about that. So everything I do on social media, most of my social media pictures on my personal page, I'm either playing soccer or even my friends that I'm hanging out with, I met them playing soccer. Like all these things kind of tie into a very clear and consistent brand message. Or if I travel, every time I travel out of the country or anywhere, I'm going to a soccer game and people are seeing that because it's like, and I'm not doing that deliberately. It's part of my, just how I live. You know what I mean? Like, it wouldn't make sense for me to say live and breathe football and I'm out here looking like I'm out of shape.
Right.
Or I can't play soccer. You know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't correlate. You know what I mean? So it's why I'm making sure I'm playing soccer 3 to 4 times a week because one, it keeps me fit and in shape, but also like from a brand message, people have to know, oh, the person that's representing this brand that he's talking about also lives the life that he's telling us that he wants us to buy into.
Not only a client, the player president, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
I mean, but the things that you just said are really, I can't say them any better. And I think that's one of the reasons why you and I really had such a great relationship over the almost a decade. Because, you know, we came from the same school as far as, like, I think a lot of people don't give Jay and Puff enough credit for what's happening right now. You know, when we were in high school, I think you're a couple years younger than me, but I graduated in 04. You know, coming out of high school, the only thing I could really assign to entrepreneurship was Sean John, Rockaware, FUBU, things like that. Like, oh, those are entrepreneurs. That's what an entrepreneur meant to me at the time. And so as I went to college, then I started realizing like, oh no, like actually the corner store that I would go to every day, it was also an entrepreneur. And this person, like now it came full circle, but the first taste of it like you said, came from a J, and those are really the first guys to say, okay, yeah, it's cool to be on, but what about owning it? And then they own their record labels, they own their clothes, they own, we just listed it today in a document that we were, it was a conversation on Instagram. We talked, you know, people are kind of criticizing Jay right now for the collab with the NFL. And what we talked about was, well, Jay's always been a proponent of black ownership. From Rockefeller in 96 to Rockaware to Armadale, the liquor he had, to 4040, the sports club. It's always been like black people need to own something. So there's probably like some, there's probably an end game with the NFL play. But to your point, his brand has always been that for the last 30 years. Is I'm, why rent it? Why sponsor it when we can own it and we can have ownership over these things? And that's what's really made our brand over the last 8 years. We came out saying like, hey, you know, we have some commonality here in the space. And then people have attracted to us because our brand is all about information and knowledge. And like you said, it's so consistent to the point that if somebody doesn't know me or Sherm or Jim and they meet us in the street or they come to the office and they talk to us, you know, they have this whole other vision of us being like, like some people are surprised that when they hear me cut, so they hear me like talk about like certain things like rap, because our Common Ground Management brand is so consistent with like information and like positivity and just like being objective that they're like, wow, man, you actually like a regular guy.
yeah, that's actually a really good point, because and there's two sides to that. The one side is for us as entrepreneurs is realizing that we are an extension of our brand, mm-hmm. and people take the things that they see about us on social media or however have you very seriously and very literally, and that's the image that they put on you, right? Mm-hmm. For us to remember that like we still are human beings at the end of the day, and we should still be able to separate the two, right? You know what I mean? Like at some point, like you're still Dom, right? You're not just Dom CGM, like you're still Dom. Like you have a family, you have hopes and dreams that are completely aside and separate from your brand. But no, I think that's a really important point too, because people still always have to still have to be relatable to people. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like you still have to be like, yo, I'm still a person at the end of the day. Not that people will get it twisted, but like, you still have, especially in this day of social media where like everything is so like everyone's trying to sell you something, everyone's trying to get you to believe something or whatever. Yeah. It's like it's very easy to lose sight of the human being behind the username, behind the handle.
And that's super deep. And I think the one thing that we've always tried to do is we're very low key individuals, but one thing that we've always been is I think we've always been very honest with what we present. So we rarely talk about, you know, this is how you can make money really fast. So we rarely talk about glitz and glamoury things. That's not us. We don't prescribe to that particular motivation. Everybody wants nice things, but the information that we give is always about, you know, discipline, practice, application, and consistency. And so when people see me in the street, one of our clients, it was funny, he sent some people to us and he said, yo, I bet you, well, he said, where are you guys meeting? And they were like, we're gonna meet him at McCormick's. He said, okay, cool, offer him a drink and see what he does. Because he knew that I would say no, because I don't drink. Right. And so the guy was like, yeah, you know, we'll buy you a drink. And then I said, no, I'm cool, don't worry about it. And so I was like, yeah, you know, what's the name told us to do that to see what you would say. But the consistency that person knows, not only Dom Common Ground Management, but he knows that Dom Common Ground Management isn't that far off from Dom the Dominique Landry, the regular guy, because he's still going to have the same pillars. It's very difficult for people when you try to portray one aspect that, like you said, you're a soccer player, so it's not hard. You don't have to force yourself to go to a soccer game. You don't have to force yourself to go to the park and play pickup. You know, some people might put on their brand for their page. They might put on one thing, but then you know, you meet them in person, you're like, wow, I thought you were really bubbly, or I thought you were really a nice person.
Yeah.
But you're super sour in real life. So those are, like you said, those are things you gotta be careful of, guys. Like, stay true to who you are as a person and your personality. Don't just put on something to sell, because like you said, it's hard for people to conceptualize and compartmentalize. They're gonna look at you as an entirety in a vacuum, because that's how the human brain works. The human brain can't say, Donald Trump, yeah, his politics are trash, but he's a great father. We just unilaterally say he's a horrible human being, right? You know what I mean?
Right.
Whether we met him or not, we just take the information that's given and say, oh, clearly he, you know, kicks trash cans down when he goes outside so the garbage people can't pick him up, or whatever the case may be. So, guys, be true to who you are personality-wise so that your brand can actually be magnified correctly. Because the minute you try to be something else, i.e. Tiger Woods, when Tiger was caught cheating in the adultery, I mean, it just hit super hard because everybody thought, like, damn, Tiger? Like, what? Tiger has sex? Like, what? That doesn't even make sense. I thought he was just a super clean-cut guy, so.
Yeah, yeah. And that's actually a really good point, and I think, I guess for the people listening to this, right, I'm assuming a lot of people are sort of solopreneurs, right? You're starting a business by yourself.
Right.
Or maybe you might have one other partner. And so it's you guys, right? It's very important that when you guys are creating this brand, the brand is an extension of who you already are naturally, because then you don't have to turn it on or turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if people meet you, like, for example, with you, right, like, you drinking or not drinking hasn't gem at all.
Right.
But, like, because you've become such a pillar of this message that you're preaching, right, and people have gotten to know you personally, like, you don't drink, so you don't have to act like, oh shit, do I need to not drink in a situation because somebody might be watching me.
Right
you just don't drink, so you just never drink, you know what I mean? And I think that's important, that people do notice that, people do keep that in mind when they're creating their brand, is like, look, this is an extension of you. If you make it just like what you do naturally anyway, it flows, it's organic. And I think that's one reason we've been able to be so successful, is because people see my Instagram and they know, okay, I play soccer. Like, they know that. So it's not like, oh, he out here partying, he out here doing X, Y, and Z. I don't ever see him play soccer.
Right.
He trying to get me to play soccer. You know what I mean? Or if I go somewhere and I'm somewhere, I see me like kicking a soccer ball. If I can't play, they're gonna be like, man, you out here fooling, you're lying, right?
Right.
So it's important that, like, if it's a natural extension of what you do anyway, which is why if you think back to Jay-Z and Puff and all those guys, it makes sense that they've got Ciroc and Jay has, you know, Ace of Spades and Deuce and all that, because, like, that's part of the lifestyle that they've been talking about for such a long time.
So long.
They party, they drink, like, there's girls around, like, that's an extension of what they already do. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you guys listening, key takeaways are, your business is, once you open a business, everything you do is going to be magnified. And so Abun's point is, just be as true to yourself through your business as possible. Stay down with those core values and those core missions. It doesn't mean you got to pretend to be a saint when you go outside. Mm-hmm. What it does mean is, what you communicate through your brand is going to lead the pace. So if you, a friend of mine just moved to LA, and she just told me last week, a lot of people that she looked up to in the clothing game that live in LA, you know, she was like, oh man, I can't wait. And then some of them have even come to Philly and worked with her. But she was like, when I went to LA, I really realized, like, LA is super superficial as far people will laugh, like, talk to you and, you know, like, buddy, buddy. Then as soon as you leave the table, she's seen these same people, like, talk bad about people and just really rip them. But on Instagram, they have, like, super positive posts. They're over the top when it comes to, like, the smiles and the hey girl, hey girls. So that's what we're talking about. What we're saying is, don't be an extreme of what you're not. Don't be uber positive on Instagram because you think that's going to be the best way to get sales, but that's not who you are as a person in real life, because the truth will always come out, you know, especially the bigger you get, the more it's going to weigh on you. Entrepreneurship is stressful enough. You don't have to try to keep up a persona that you aren't. That's going to drive you even more crazy. It's very easy. Right. It's very easy for me not to go out. And it's very easy for people to expect me not to go out because they don't see me out. You know, they don't see me at parties, and we don't promote that type of lifestyle. So I don't have that extra burden of pressure to be like, yo, Dom's got to be on the scene. I got to be on the scene this week. So, you know, people can realize like we still in the game like that. Nobody expects to see us anywhere. So when we actually do show up someplace, they're like, wait, what? What are you guys doing? The expectation that people have on us is that we work 24/7, which is pretty close to accurate, but it doesn't make it hard for us to live up to those expectations because that's within our wheelhouse. Exactly. So what I want to do is, I love the fact that we had that conversation about things that people don't necessarily think about as far as branding, because it is very intangible. It is all the things that you do outside of the actual business that builds it up. So now I want to kind of shift gears and talk about how you built and how you help people build successful online brands as far as like retail. So what are some things that you guys do to help people build their online brands? And then what have you done to build yours to, you know, I mean, you sell in what, 7 countries, 8 countries, maybe more now, I think.
What, LBF?
Yeah.
60 countries.
60?
Yeah. So we've sold 60 countries. I'm trying to get to 100 by the end of 2020.
Man, there's only like 100 countries in the world, brother.
So here's what we've done, right? So I'm in a space where, like, so for me, I think everyone has to have something like a big mission in their life. Like, what's like their why, their purpose, right? For me, my purpose isn't building a soccer apparel brand, right? My purpose is really to help people. Like, I've always wanted to do that. But through what I've done, through building my business, I've learned a lot of skills that I realize are transferable, and those skills are beneficial for other people, right? Because, you know, there's... I'm in a space now where I'm trying to figure out the next step in my business, the next step of how do we get to that next level.
Yeah.
I have people who want to get from zero, from I have an idea, I want to do X, Y, and Z, and I don't have to know how to go from zero to like to the start line.
Right.
I don't know how to like get my website up. I don't know how to do my brand. I don't know where to source fabrics, all that kind of stuff. Like I realize a lot of people have those questions. And those are things that I've had to learn just by doing my business, because I had no clue, right? So for me now, I'm in a space where I started this consulting business on the side to really help entrepreneurs who want to get started, right? I'm not going to help you get to $1 million in revenue, but I'll help you get to that first sale, right? And I can kind of help with strategy and things like that. So that's pretty much what I've been doing. The technical things that I help out with is sort of getting your website up. Okay, do you want to do a Shopify? Are you doing drop shipping versus physical products? Mm-hmm. How do you market your brand? Like, you know, okay, all the nitty gritty stuff that goes into like getting your store up and running. Mm-hmm. Those are things that I help with, from, you know, branding, packaging design, even product design, if that's something that you're interested in doing. So that's really where my focus is right now, in addition to sort of running my core business.
Yeah, and guys, number one, well, there's a couple things that I want to touch on, but the first thing is, I'd be remiss to, Boone has been really humble and really understated about how nice he is with design. So this guy graduated with an architecture degree from Temple University, and I mean, his drawing capability, his graphic design prowess, and his just eye for detail. So Adidas, can I say this? Can I go into this real quick?
Yeah.
So Adidas contracted Boone to do what would you call that? That'd be like not a showcase, but an exhibit. Would you say an exhibit?
Yeah. So I guess you call it experiential design. So it's basically like, hey, there was a convention in Philly last year, soccer convention. So Adidas had a huge space, and they pretty much hired us to create the space, curate the space. Like, we have a space, we want our new product featured, go crazy. So that was kind of what we were tasked to do. So we pretty much designed and built the entire set, the experiences that people had while they came to the space.
Right.
So we had local Philly DJs come through. We had local Philly artists come through. So each day there was a different activity that people had.
Right.
There was FIFA. We had custom shirts. We gave our free haircuts. Just like different things, like to maximize the experience that people had coming to this convention.
And that's, I mean, this is a worldwide brand. This brand was like from, this brand has been around since like the 1930s. And they contracted a Boone and the guys at LBF to make this experiential branding exhibit. You know, so when you when he's talking about like products, when he's talking about design, when he's talking about like how to get you from A to B, A to C, like you guys are dealing with somebody that's like in the game, like, and not only just in the game, but he's really nice in the game. So don't hesitate to reach out to him and follow up. But the things that I wanted to say, going back to Maurice Bowman's podcast from episode one of season two, the one we just did prior to this. Two things you mentioned that he talked about were exhausting the business, meaning, like you said, you have LBF, you learn these skill sets, and that's the beautiful thing about entrepreneurship, guys, that you shouldn't take for granted. On the road to getting better at your business, you're going to find out two things. A, you're going to find out that the business is just an opportunity, right? And you're going to find out that along the way to building that opportunity, you're going to strengthen muscles that you never knew you had. And you're going to realize that this opportunity isn't the end game. There's something bigger than that. And it's called like an invisible product. And so we realized that our invisible product was just information. Yeah. People like us because we have a mission to educate our community about business, about economics. That's why we have the podcast. That's why we do this. That's why we do that. And so along the way, you learn these skill sets, and then you realize, like, hey, I can resell these skill sets while I'm building my own business. So you create more revenue. You create more opportunities to keep yourself alive, keep the business alive. So entrepreneurship isn't a line from A to Z. That's not what it is. It's actually more like a tree. Once it sprouts from the ground, then there's branches, there's roots, there's leaves, there's all different things that come about from the things that you do. If you take advantage of all the opportunities that you generate and all the skill sets that you learn, now you've created an economic engine for yourself and for your business. So Baboon just kind of laid that game out for you guys real fast, and so did Maurice last week. So I want you, these are two independent people that probably have never met in life, but they're clients of ours, they're friends of ours, and they said the same exact thing on back-to-back weeks. So you know it's true.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, it's a great point. And I think to tie this back to Jay, you know, someone who I feel like every young black man in our age group is inspired by in some
uncle.
Way, shape, or form.
If you're younger than 36, he's your uncle.
Like, there's no two ways about it, right? And, you know, I remember when, you know, everyone was so excited, you know, a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, when Forbes announced that he was hip hop's first billionaire, right? We all kind of felt a personal stake in his success, right? Every Instagram account was talking about it. Jay's a billionaire, and all of that. Which doesn't change my life or your life, anyone's life, really, in any meaningful way, to be honest. But the one thing I wanted to point out about that was that, you know, when I was reading the article and they're sort of breaking down his different investments and the value and all that kind of stuff, was his music catalog was only worth, not only, but it's worth $75 million, right? That's only 8% of his total net worth.
Exactly.
Right? But that's how we got to know who Jay-Z is. Like, that's how we know, like, that was his core
that
business.
That was the seed, right?
That was the seed, right? But now he's got Duce, he's got Rock Nation, he's got so many different ventures, his hand in so many different things that are all combined worth way more than the music thing that he started as. So if you're just saying, oh, I want to get into this entrepreneurship thing to do X, and that's as far as you're seeing it, I think you're shortchanging yourself and your potential, because there's so much more that you can do if you just kind of like take the blinders off and look at it, see the forest for the trees, basically, as they say. It's like, look, there's a much bigger picture there than just like, oh, I want to do this thing and focus only on this thing. Because then if that's the case, you can just be an employee of a company.
You can just be
and work in the marketing department.
Exactly.
Or work in the product development team. But if you're trying to be an entrepreneur and you just get to see so many different things, right, you are learning so much. And the thing about entrepreneurship is like, it's trial by fire, and it's like a crash course, MBA, a crash course in so many different degrees and so many different disciplines that you get to see how everything works together. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, now, like, I understand how cash flow impacts our product design schedule, how it impacts marketing, probably impacts the logistics, all those things. Like, I get to see how everything ties in together. And the only person that can see that and how all these things work together is an entrepreneur.
Right.
Right. The person who's doing your marketing doesn't give a shit about the product, really. Right. They know enough to do their job.
Right.
Right. But for me, I have to understand how things work holistically. And that skill set is valuable to so many different people who are starting to go through that. So if you think about what you're trying to do, just don't forget to think bigger picture. Like, always think bigger picture. Like, there's always a picture bigger than where you're currently at.
Oh, always. And I think one word,
the world is bigger than Philadelphia, the world's bigger than America, the world's big, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many different things out there. Because for me, like, when I started my brand, I realized we're starting in America, but football is a global thing.
Right.
Which is why, like, I've always, which is why it was important to open the office in the UK. It was important where this, you know, this Christmas I'm going to be in Africa promoting the brand, because it's like, it's bigger than just like, okay, like the Philadelphia soccer community. Like, great, great place to start, but like, at some point you got to think on a much bigger level.
Yeah, I mean, to sum it all up, the word that you guys need to live and die by is multiply, right? Mm. So if you,
bars.
The whole thing about business is, if you can't multiply that action, then you shouldn't do it. Like, if something, like, that's why we don't hate bartering, but that's why we tell people, like, you have to stay away from bartering as much as possible. You can't multiply bartering into a successful business.
No.
But like you said, you can multiply your knowledge of how sourcing works between here in India and here in China. Like, oh, once I got it down, now I can do it better for my own business, right. But I can also multiply that knowledge to other people.
Absolutely.
So I can make more bang for my buck, more bang for my knowledge. So guys, you have to, when you look at, so I'm gonna go rewind all the way back to the beginning of the conversation, because you said something that is so dope, and that we tell people a lot and that we live by. You have a brand mission, and you guys have summed it up with the acronym SWAGGER. You have a brand mission and you have a company core value. And so two barometers that you'll have on decision making is, A, can I multiply this decision to make my business better? And then B, does this fit my core value set? If the answer is no to both of those or either one of those, this decision is easy. Don't do it.
Yeah.
So, yep. So even if it does make you more money, if it doesn't align with your brand, don't do it. Like, because you could be cutting your nose off to spite your face and putting yourself in a position where you're going to be pigeonholed or boxed in. So entrepreneurship, in a sense, can be summed up by applying what you know and applying it to multiply the outcomes that you guys are getting. And it's going to take a while. Like, we're both in this game 8 years, and we're nowhere near where we want to be, because like you said, I would assume both of our visions are, you know, decades long in terms of like where we want to be, you know, 20 years from now, 30 years from now. But what I can say is, I think we are in a place where we're looking at our lives and saying, damn, these past 8 years, they've been probably hard as hell, but we have 100% control over where we've landed right now, and we have 100% control of where we're going in the future. And that's all you can really ask of yourself and of your business, to put you in a place where you have 100% autonomy over your day and your trajectory. Dude, man, this has been one of the most fun podcasts we've had, that we've gone to a lot of things. One thing that we always wrap it up with is like story time. So please, like, based on today's topic, branding or building a business, an online business, just kind of give us like a short anecdote about how branding has helped, or how, like, what you've experienced over the last 8 years in building your retail store.
How branding can help.
Or, I mean, just like just something, I mean, it could be the Adidas thing, like how that came about, or the MLS play, like something that we're like, yo, because we were so stuck in our core values that this happened because our branding was so good or whatever.
Okay, so I have a good story about this, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like every entrepreneur has this story of like rejection and how that rejection kind of comes full circle at some point in the future. So for me, you know, when I first, even right before I started the brand, the Philadelphia Union had a t-shirt design competition, right?
Mm-hmm.
So people entered the competition, and then fans got to vote. I won the competition. My design won the competition. And the part of the prize was they would sell the winning design in the club shop in the stadium during game days. Like, I think I had a game there too. And I was in college. I just started LBF. It wasn't even really a business, right? I was just sort of making t-shirts, right? Mm-hmm. And it was such a motivating thing to go to the stadium and see people wearing, seeing people wear this stuff, and then see people at the counter, like at the shop, buying the stuff that I had actually designed. And, you know, me always being a big picture thinker, I went to the market and people said, hey, you know, like, I can design more stuff for you guys to sell in the stadium, boom, 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 boom. And they pretty much were like, no, that's not possible because, well, the league has an Adidas, Adidas has a league-wide deal where whatever is sold in the stadium can only be, as far as apparel goes, the merch goes, can only be Adidas.
Right.
And I was pretty bummed about that. I was like, well, can we do this? Can we do that? And this was like 2010, 2011-ish or whatever. So it's now fast forward to today, to, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago even, you know, we've done collaborations with an MLS club, with MLS, and now we've collaborated with Adidas, where Adidas has paid us real good money to actually, like, put on stuff for them. So it just kind of goes to show, like, if you believe in your core values, right, and stick with them long enough, right, the word's consistency, right, like, the world would eventually shift in your favor, right? Because I knew back then, because I've grown and I've matured, but, like, my values in terms of, like, what I believe the soccer apparel space could be at that time, right, is still what it is now. Like, I'm fighting a long game here, right? And I believe, I was like, well, shit, independent creators like myself should be able to have a say in terms of what fans wear. It shouldn't just be, like, a league-wide thing where, like, one massive brand gets to dictate what we all wear, and we're all cool with that. Like, there are a lot of creative people that want to create for the sport that they love, but because of, you know, contracts and so many X, Y, and Z and how much money is at play, they may not get that opportunity. But, like, the tide has changed where you see big brands like the Nikes and Adidas working with independent creators and giving them a chance to actually flourish and, you know, and work. Because, you know, you think of someone like Virgil, who's sort of, you know, another hero of mine. You know, 10 years ago, Nike wasn't working with an independent athlete.
And this is, right, Virgil from Off-White.
Exactly. Like,
yeah.
And Off-White has become, the Off-White Nike collaboration has become one of the most coveted sneakers and products in the game, point blank, period. So it just goes to show that, like, if you believe in what you're doing and your core values, right, like, the world can and most likely will shift in your favor as long as you stick with what you're doing and you're consistent. People will take notice.
And
so, yeah, that's my story.
And it's crazy because one thing I wanted to do to amplify that is, guys, you're listening to somebody who I can attest we met at an event, but then we met up officially, like, at Temple University in the library, you know, when he was just getting off the ground. So I have, like, every shirt basically from each year, or like something from LBF from each year they've grown. But when the boom said shift, I kind of want to just even say, like, you make the world that you create. Like, I think we have entrepreneurs are in an enviable position where, Abun, you made that shit, right? Like, you made that happen because you, the hours you put in, the attention to detail, like, you made the world stop and say, like, no, we gotta, you made the universe that you want to be in. And that's what that's the power that you guys have if you're consistent and you put that time in, that work in, and you stay true to your core values and your brand. Branding is so important, not because of what you're saying, but because what you're doing and what your business is living by and how you live as an entrepreneur or the captain of that boat. So, I mean, today's episode is so dope because anytime we link, I love how you always bring Jay. I don't want to be that guy that always brings Jay up. So now that you get to bring him up, I can just piggyback off of you.
Yeah.
Today's episode was fire. Boone, how can they reach out to you? Like, how can they contact you? Like, website, social media, email?
Yeah. So my personal email is Abun, that's E-E-U-N, at Olaloye. It's my last name, OlaLoye.com. That's my personal email, so you can get right to me. Social media at Mr. LBF, so at MRLBF. I'm always, you know, one of my passions is, like, whenever people reach out to me and say, hey, I need help with this or get help with that, like, I'm never too busy to help a young entrepreneur or help someone out, because I've been really fortunate to have good mentors and people who looked out for me when I was just, like, a 21-year-old kid had an idea and had no idea. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I've always been very blessed and fortunate in that regard. So for me, it's important that, like, if anyone reaches out to me, I lend a hand if I can. And if I can, I can definitely suggest or recommend someone that you can speak to. And I think that's really the only purpose of building a network, is to be able to share that with...
To multiply. You
know. Hope did that, so hopefully you don't
have to go through that. Yeah, man. So, of course, you guys listening to CGM Lounge. You can find us at CGM Philly on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You can email us at info@cgmphilly.com. And of course, the website is cgmphilly.com to look at our services. If you need help with anything, just hit us up, contact us anytime. Abun, is a pleasure, man, as always. And kicking off a great soccer season, of course, is apropos to have you on, because you know we're big football heads. So,
yes, sir.
Guys,
yes,
check this episode out. It's going to be live in a couple of days. Share it, listen to it, dive in. Thanks. This is CGM Lounge signing off.
Awesome, and thank you, guys.
Appreciate it.